Fran fam, what's going on? Listen, before we start this podcast episode, I have a very, very small favor to ask of each and every single one of you guys. I appreciate the support that all of you have been showing for the podcast up until this point, but we want to try and get these episodes out to as many people as possible. And how we do that on the audio side is by leaving a review and dropping a 5-star rating. So if you've been a consistent listener of the pod, please, before we get this episode started, it only takes a couple of seconds, leave a review. It could be a 2-word, 3-word, 4-word review, or just leave a rating. Do something to get the word out so that we can get the Marvin Francois Show to more listeners moving forward. Outside of that, love you guys, appreciate the support, but without further ado, let's get into this episode.
You can learn how to make $100 without saying I need funding to make $100. You can make $1,000 without saying I need funding to make $1,000. You can make $100,000 without saying I need funding, because you know it's two skills you need: sales and marketing.
We know because we did it.
So especially nowadays, jumping on a TikTok, jumping on an Instagram, jumping on a Facebook, teaching people, doing live Zoom calls, creating a product, and after that live Zoom call, you now sell the product. You can do that without saying I need 50K. And people don't understand that. Having that skill set, now funding is going to amplify that. A lot of people want to say, I'm going to get the funding, and then that's going to help me figure it out. And that's where they go wrong. You haven't learned the skill set of actually growing the business.
Imagine making the next big investment in your business without worrying about how you secure the capital to do it. Every day you're putting in the work. You clock in at your job, you stay up late to work on your business, you handle your family responsibilities, but hard work isn't enough to create financial freedom. Here's why so many entrepreneurs still feel stuck. Business credit approvals keep slipping through your fingers. The advice that you've been given doesn't match the results. And you've invested in yourself, but without having the right structure, it hasn't paid off. It's not that you're not capable, it's just that the path that you've been given is broken. That's why I created the Fast Track to Capital. It's a proven framework that entrepreneurs are using to boost their credit so that lenders can trust them, structure their business so that banks see them as credible, and access $50,000 to $100,000 in business credit so they can finally act on opportunities. This isn't about working harder. It's about applying the same structure that wealthy entrepreneurs have been using for years. So if you're ready to stop spinning your wheels and actually move forward, click the link above or below this video to secure your spot in the free masterclass, and I'll see you on the other side of success.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Marvin Francois Show, your number one source for all things business, finance, and investing. And today, is a very special day because our guests today are entrepreneurs, investors, mentors, financial literacy specialists, and business credit experts extraordinaire. They're the founders and CEOs of Millionaire Essentials, a seven-figure education and funding company that has helped business owners and investors all across the country secure well over $20 million in capital and counting. From blue-collar beginnings right here in New York City to building a nationally recognized platform around all things business funding, their story is one of discipline, vision, and relentless execution. Whether they're showing entrepreneurs how to leverage personal credit into five-figure business credit lines or teaching the strategies needed to turn credit to cash flow, their mission remains the same: to make the essentials to becoming a millionaire accessible and inevitable to anyone willing to put in the work. And today, they're here to do more of the same. Ladies and gentlemen, from New York City, I'm here with none other than Mr. Brandon Jackson and Mr. Tevin Facey, the CEOs of Millionaire Essentials. What's going on, family? How are y'all?
What's going on,
that, man? That was amazing, man.
I appreciate it,
that was amazing.
Bro,
I appreciate that.
Most definitely, bro. Well deserved. Welcome back to the show. How y'all feeling?
Yes, sir. Yes,
appreciate
sir.
Appreciate that, man. Appreciate the intro.
100%, man. Welcome back. Excited for this conversation. It's definitely going to be a great one. Long time coming. You guys, of course, are the biggest movers and shakers when we talk about any and all things credit and funding. And I know this is going to be a very fun conversation for the both of us. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Let's get it. So obviously I know I did an okay job introducing you guys, but nobody knows Brandon and Tevin better than the men themselves. So for those who are unfamiliar, let's get them familiar. Who exactly is Brandon Jackson and Mr. Tevin Facey?
All right, so we're not going to do the ChatGPT version. I'm going to clear up some things, all right? So, yes, now that was a good intro. You pretty much hit it on the head. This is my partner, Tevin, Brandon Jackson, born and raised in New York City, Queens, Brooklyn.
Get the money.
Grew up in Queens, get the money, of course. Been, I actually worked for MTA for about like 15 years. I know I look young. You know, Marvin's a little bit older than me. I started my entrepreneurship journey just learning about real estate. Learning about real estate. And just wanted more. Like, most people think, like, a city job, which is, you know, good and dandy. Like, you made it. That's what we thought, you know, success was.
Right.
But this is wanting more, seeing more, and the only way to get that is through business.
Yeah.
And actually understanding money.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the foundations of money is credit.
Yep.
So just understanding credit, understanding money. I started getting into real estate because that was one of the things I learned was what all of the wealthy people invest in is real estate. So that's how I started my business financialship journey. Mm. Got to start investing in real estate. One thing that happened during business, started running out of money.
Mm-hmm.
So now how do we get more money if we're not making more money? Credit.
Right.
So I started learning about credit, dove super deep into that. Once we really actually executed on using credit, learning it, and mastering it, now it's about teaching others and transferring it down. I got married. I had my daughter, my beautiful daughter, my beautiful wife. And then we just started building this business together. I met Tevin somewhere. I don't know where I met him, in the back alley somewhere. But yeah.
You don't want to say this.
I met Tevin along the way. Man. We partnered up. We built a company called Millionaire Essentials. Mm-hmm. We give you all essentials to become a millionaire. And we teach people how to leverage credit to build and scale their businesses, create systems, and cash flow.
I love it. I love
it. So that's the short.
That's a great introduction for him. Mine, like you said, blue collar worker, worked at Con Ed for a little bit, worked at a solar company for a little bit, worked at Google for a little bit.
Okay.
And then just finding more time. I mean, it's the same thing essentially. Want to find more time to be with my daughter as she was born. And like, yo, this is not it. I can't keep working 60, 80 hours a week.
Yeah.
So we learned about credit, and from the credit, then we also learned about real estate. Same thing. Found out a lot of people that have money, they have real estate.
Yeah.
So we was like, all right, cool. Let's invest in real estate. Me and Natalie, we just put our head down, credit, funding, and real estate. And that was our motto. And then eventually, you know, we met Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
Took a little time. You know, he a little bit of a hard head. So
he light skinned. I'm dark skinned. You know.
Interesting. So yeah, unpack that a little bit more, because obviously, like you said, so you both come from similar backgrounds, right? So,
Very similar.
So both blue collar workers, right? Mm-hmm. You having a city job, you also dabbling in the city and a couple other different industries.
Mm-hmm.
Both found yourself in entrepreneurial spaces, venturing into real estate. How did you guys ultimately now not only just get connected, but decide that you want to get in a business together? Because that's a very big commitment.
The connection part, it came from being in similar rooms, right? I mean, you probably hear that on a bunch of podcasts, on Instagram reels. Yo, get in the room. Yeah. But essentially, that's what we did, right? We got in the room. We were in high-level mentorships at that time. Well, at the time for us, it was a high-level mentorship because we didn't know any of that information, right?
Yeah,
we didn't know credit. We didn't know. We knew it, but we only knew it to a certain standard.
Mm-hmm.
So we knew, you know, started to learn more about credit, started to learn more about funding, and then started to learn about other different industries.
Mm.
As we were doing so, we got connected as, you know, getting in network rooms, and like I said, different mentorships. And then from there, you know, we had conversations and just kept having more and more conversations.
Mm.
It wasn't an overnight thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
I think a lot of people, they just see that and they'd be like, yo, y'all probably knew each other for 5-10 years. And like, nah. Mm. It's just good connection, good chemistry, and good energy.
Mm.
And that's what it is, compatibility, because I see a lot of people talking about, like, it's hard to find a partner. And fortunately, we've been blessed to be able to be partners for quite some time, and because we're compatible.
Mm.
I think a lot of times when people are looking for partners, especially in business, you guys just look at money and business, but actually, are you compatible personally?
Yeah.
Personally, we're compatible. We like to play a lot. We both married. We both got daughters.
Hold on. I got to say pause on the like to
play a lot. Play a lot is
crazy. That was crazy.
I was going to let it slide.
This is a New York podcast. I just want to let you know that right now.
That was diabolical.
So we like to hang out.
There we go.
As men. Yeah, perfect.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was a little bit.
I'm saying this is a family show. You know what I'm saying? But go ahead.
So, yeah, it's compatibility when you talk about partnerships.
Okay.
And I realized that we've been blessed because I meet a lot of people and they talk about how it's so hard to find partners that you trust. We trust each other, and it's just worked out since then. So as we are compatible personally, that translates into business. Like, we don't even talk about business every day. We talk about a bunch of stuff. We talk about hanging out. We talk about family. We talk about sports, because we're just compatible.
Yeah.
So that makes everything 10 times easier, and that's what you should look for in a partner. Like, do they have the same purpose as you?
Mm-hmm.
not just, yo, can they make me some money?
Yeah.
And that's where it goes wrong.
Yeah.
Because now on the outside life, they could be doing some things that could affect you.
Yeah.
And vice versa. And then down the line, your guys want to go different ways.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to look for somebody that's compatible with you.
Yeah. To piggyback off on that, because I also have a business partnership as well. Everybody wants to make a lot of money, but not everybody wants to make a lot of money the same ways. So mm-hmm. when you guys talk about having those aligned values and having a similar purpose, like I think to your point, most people who find themselves in partnerships where they're looking up and they're like, yo, what did I get myself into?
Mm-hmm.
Are so focused on like, okay, can this person get me to point B? They don't think about all the stuff in between. Like right. you guys talked about, things would probably look a lot different if you guys both didn't come from the same background,
yeah.
you both weren't married and you both didn't have kids. But I think those similarities and probably a bunch of other stuff that you guys have in common makes being in business so natural to you guys to where there's not friction. Cause like, yo, I'm pretty much in business with somebody that's like, feel like I'm looking in a mirror
right.
more or less. Have you also noticed that? Cause this is another big part of partnership I've noticed as well. Ego, right? Because I think mm-hmm. it takes a bit of like, I gotta come into this with a little bit of humility and know that I don't know everything. I'm not great at everything when it comes to business. And this person kind of helps to, his strengths are my weaknesses and my mm-hmm. strengths are his weaknesses. Have you guys seen that's also been a large contributing factor to why you've been as successful as you've been to today?
Yeah, yeah. Because Brandon definitely has a big ego.
and I've
understood how to just, and I've always been that way. I just understand how to drop my ego.
Yeah.
I mean, and me as a person that, you know, played a lot of contact sports, played a lot of sports, so I've always been that
mm-hmm.
ego-driven person.
Yeah.
As I got older, I learned how to drop my ego, even in my relationship. So it was kind of easy for me to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy for me to do it better now because I don't have to exude as much energy
yeah.
as well. And hence why we even, like, in our company, he has the CEO role and mm-hmm. I have the COO role, mm-hmm. right? He has to be the visionary. And in order to be a visionary, ego is involved in that.
100%.
There's no way you can be a visionary and not have ego because you have to be overconfident in what you're doing and overconfident to see the vision further.
Mm.
So, I mean, hey, lead on, brother.
Mm. You guys get into business together,
mm-hmm.
start Millionaire Essentials. What was the moment where you realized where things really started to pick up? Because everyone thinks, especially in the day and age of social media that we're in now, that you start a business today, you become a millionaire tomorrow. You guys know just as well as I do, it doesn't happen that
way. Right.
There's a lot of stuff that happens. There's an in-between there, right? Was there a specific moment or a season where things started to pick up for you guys after you come together and you're like, okay, I think we really figured this entrepreneurship thing out, or like we're starting to really get traction and find our way? What was that for you guys?
Yeah, you go first. Cause I have a different time.
Well, that's a great question.
That's an amazing question. I'll be honest. I have a different time.
I mean, for me, number one, especially when it comes to business, and let's just say, because business and entrepreneurship is two different things.
Mm.
You can have a business and have a 9-to-5, which is perfectly fine, or invest in a bunch of things. Entrepreneur, I don't have a 9-to-5. I'm growing a purpose. I'm in my purpose. So
yeah.
When you're living in like a purpose, you don't have a retirement.
Yeah.
If you understand what I'm saying.
I'm with you.
Like I could be 65, 70. I'm going to say, hey, I still want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
When we have our jobs, corporate, we're going to retire at a certain time.
Mm-hmm.
When you're running a business, at a certain time, you probably want to sell and want to retire. Mm-hmm. When you're an entrepreneur, this is what you love to do. So we was doing this without making any money and still saying, hey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do this. And still was going at it and still had the energy and still had the drive to do it
mm-hmm.
because this is what we wanted to do. I think it clicked for me. It clicked for me as soon as we started, to be honest, because this is what we wanted to do. And that's kind of my real answer. It made it real when we started making money.
Mm.
It made it feel more real, like, all right, this can really happen. But I feel like once you get, I'm going to use the words, which is cliche, once you get in the rooms around people that you trust and respect and you see, like, all right, they really live in a certain lifestyle, they're really helping people.
Yeah.
Like, that's when it started really clicking, when I started getting out my comfort zone and getting around a whole bunch of other people. So mm-hmm. I'll say that. And then when we started doing it, taking the right steps, being disciplined, and everything started working and putting together, and we started making money, we started helping people, and then people really started to respect and appreciate, understand us, that's when it started hitting heavy. Like, all right, we're really doing something.
Mm.
And that's when it hit for me.
My time, it was at the beginning as well, but, you know, as a human, you just always have that second thing of like, all right, it's working now, but what's going to happen later?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The second time for me, the second instance was Natalie's birthday.
Mm.
And we was in the Sprinter van. It was that same year. It was in the Sprinter van, and we was having the webinar, and I think we made like 80,000 night. Yeah, yeah. You made 80,000.
That's when it clicked for you, bro.
So the whole time, I said, no. See,
he was like, he was on the fence.
Bro,
like, maybe,
that was like a wow, bro.
Maybe not.
No, you wanna know what's crazy? He ain't hear what I said.
I remember
that. This be his ego. He don't be listening.
I remember that.
No, I know, but that's my second instance.
My first
instance was the beginning, but the second instance, like I noticed it can pop.
Mm-hmm.
Was that night?
Interesting. Why was it that night for you?
Because. In New York, we love to idolize birthdays, right?
Mm.
And the fact that on her birthday, we was like, yo, we gonna go out and do whatever, but we still gonna have this webinar, no matter what, just showed and proved to me that being an entrepreneur, like this is it. Like this is full time. No matter what the hell is happening, we doing this.
It's a Black Friday sale.
Yes.
It's a Black Friday sale. Yeah.
And we made 80,000 that same night.
Mm-hmm.
That joint was crazy.
Let's talk about the inverse, because that obviously you guys have had tremendous milestones in this.
And shout out to
Ramel.
Yeah, Mogul Lifestyle.
My guy.
He jumped on.
Yeah, yes, sir. Shout out to him. What would you say is on the inverse? Because once again, we know it's ebbs and it's flows in this game. What would you say was the lowest moment that you guys were able to share together that helped to cement this partnership that you guys have had? Because that's where you really know who you're in partnership with. When you're in the trenches. I'm talking about, I don't know if we're going to make payroll this month, but I'm here with my guy. We're going to figure it out.
That happens. So that's business. So we've come to understand. And that's the thing about being disciplined in business and knowing business, understanding it.
Mm-hmm.
Like when those times happen, we don't get nervous or scared. Like we talk and be like, yo, this is what we got to do.
Yeah.
We're not going to quit. It's not going to stifle us. We understand, hey, this was going on. Yo, we got to make this. We make do and then keep going and understand what's going on, what's not working, and build from there.
Mm.
But I would say for me.
Yeah, I'm going to say. I'm
you probably
say,
know what I'm going to say.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So we had a situation, right?
Oh, yeah.
And this, it was a learning situation. You can't trust and do business with everybody.
Okay. I think you guys told me about this off camera, but go ahead.
We got into a bad business situation and we lost a lot of over six figures. We lost a lot of money, bro.
Mm.
We lost a lot of money. To us, it was a lot of money, all right? We lost like over six figures, well into six figures. Messed up bad relationships with clients.
Mm.
And we just learned like we can't do business with everybody or really stay in our purpose and vision. Sometimes like all these opportunities are coming your way. And this is what happens with a lot of people and a lot of entrepreneurs out there, right? Stay on your GPS, right? Stay on your road. It's going to be a lot of opportunities and things that come in your way. You're going to be tempted to gear off on the exit, right? But stay on your destination, because every opportunity don't mean it's an opportunity for you.
Yeah.
It's going to throw you off your original goal and purpose.
Hmm.
And now it's going to take you longer to get to that destination because you're looking at this as an opportunity when it's really not something that's going to lead you to what you originally set out to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of times we just look at it because we're going to think we're making some money.
Mm-hmm.
So we went into opportunity that we wasn't looking for and it ended up biting us in the behind. And it took us a little while to bounce back from that, but I mean, we bounced back.
Yeah, that's the same thing for me. I was in 23. Yeah, 23.
We invested a lot of time, energy, money, like a lot.
Yeah.
And I mean, it didn't go our way.
Yeah.
In retrospect, now being out of that situation, why do you think you had to go through that to get to where you are now?
Oh, yeah, we definitely had to go through that. I 100% I feel like we had to go through that. And Brandon likes to look at things where we can be calculated or we cannot be calculated, right? And I feel like I've known him to be that, right? And me and him, we always have different answers, but oddly enough, we still come together on our answer. So with me saying that we had to go through that is because I feel like at that point, we was at like a pedestal. Like everybody knew us for funding.
Mm-hmm.
Our webinars were going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
We was making a lot of money on front end and back end money.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a lot of decisions that we were making and everything was moving fast. And sometimes God just has to knock you down so that you can get back up. And I feel like the get up now, even from then, I feel like we're still getting up now. It's just getting back to, like Brandon said, getting back to our GPS, getting back to our purpose, because that really took us off the path.
Mm.
So I feel like it was just a knockdown. And we purposely needed that knockdown. And I just always look at things like, yo, no matter what's happening, everything's going good, something's going to happen that's going to bring you down. So that's just me. I've always looked at things like that, but I'm very optimistic.
I love it. I want to switch gears here a little bit more from, we unpacked you guys' journey.
Right.
Now I want to unpack your expertise because you got, when we talk about credit and funding, you guys aren't new to this. You're true to this. Mm-hmm. You've been doing this for a long time. You eat, sleep, and breathe this.
Yep.
You can fill out a funding application with your eyes closed, boom, 100,000. Ain't no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Yes, sir.
I want to unpack that because I know a lot of people who are watching this, especially in today's day and age, we live in a digital era where information is abundant, but there's an even larger abundance of misinformation.
Mm-hmm.
So when I sit down with experts like yourself to know the real and what's fake, I want to be able to unpack all of it. Is that mm-hmm. right with you guys?
That's cool.
Let's start at ground zero, right? Mm-hmm. For the person that's watching this and knows little to nothing about you guys' expertise, they have a business. They know they need access to capital, but they don't really know where to start. If someone like that is coming to you, what is the first step that you're typically advising and guiding them on to start putting them on a path to get access to the capital they need to grow their company?
So, do we always talk like this a therapy session? Like, I'm getting traumatized. Like,
traumatized?
Your voice is all low and soft. Like,
Dude, yo, don't ever tell. That was a pause. Don't ever tell nobody your voice is low and soft, bro. What's up with you?
Diabolical.
Y'all speaking low.
You want me to scream? Would you like for me to scream?
He is a very loud talker.
Okay, well, he's this the New Yorker.
He's about to say I'm a screamer.
I did not say that.
You 3-for-3 right now.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie. You wildin'.
Yo, this is a family show,
bro.
I'm just saying. Like,
yo, you go 4-for-4. We might just have to like switch the camera on. But go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
All right, so the question that you said, where to start off.
Mm-hmm.
And that has definitely changed based on our education and learning, you know, the right way to go about things. If you don't have a business plan, you plan to fail.
Mm.
Before you go out and get money, you have to have a business plan, a solid business plan. You can use ChatGPT, you use Claude, you can use AI to create your business plan. Mm. But knowing your numbers is going to lead to success in business. Mm. There's so many people that want to get 50K, 100K, but I ask you, what's your overhead expenses, right? What's your startup cost?
Mm-hmm.
How many months can you go? But what's the first month you want to make profit? You plan to make profit. What's your cost per client, right? What is the cost? How much does it cost to acquire a client?
Do you have a CRM?
Like all of these numbers. Then when you start talking that language, they're like, oh, I'm not sure. So mm-hmm. how do you plan? How you know you're going to make money?
Yep.
If you don't know how much it costs you to get a client, then how much that client you're going to make off that client, then what's going to be the profit?
Mm-hmm.
How do you know you're going to make money?
Mm-hmm.
So knowing your numbers is really going to lead to success. So creating a solid business plan first,
yep.
That's your GPS.
Okay.
Reverse engineer. How much money you want to make this year? And you don't have to be safe or say something. It's funny that somebody tells me, right? They tell me this all the time, a lot of clients. I don't want to say a number that's too big if I ask them how much they want to make this year.
Yeah.
That makes no sense to me. So you're not realistic in what you want to make.
Yep.
What is your life? What do you want your life to be like?
Mm-hmm.
So I tell everybody, write down on paper. This is the first step we should do, right? Write down on paper exactly what you want your life to be like.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is. How many vacations you want to go on this year? How many cars you want to drive? How many houses you want to own? How many kids you want to have? Whatever you want your life to be like, write that down, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then how much money do you believe it's going to take for you to live that life per year? Let's just go with a number, $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's not realistic. Everything in life is realistic. I want to make $1 million this year. All right. Now, that's the number you got to get to this year. Now, you break your business down from there. What does it take for me to make $1 million in 12 months?
Mm-hmm.
You break everything down from there. Now, month one, how much does my product have to sell? How many clients do I have to sell it to? So, to make $1 million in a year, how much is that?
Per month?
Yeah, per month.
It's like 83,000.
83,000, yeah. Right?
$83,333.
$33. There you go.
Yeah, there you go. That's why I had the light skin guys, right? So $83,333.
That's hate, bro.
So now you reverse engineer that. How many people do you have to sell to get to $83,333.33.
Mm-hmm.
So you just break that down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you sell a $1,000 product, how many products is that?
About like eight to nine products a month.
Okay. What? You said so I'm eight to nine products a month.
I'm bugging. I dropped out. Don't
80. 83.
I was going to say that. 83, you interrupted me before I got there.
80 to 84.
There you go. I was going to say that. You interrupted me. That was next. I was testing you.
So that's 80 to 84 products.
Yeah.
Now per week, what is that? That's about 22 products per week.
Yeah.
So you just reverse engineer, and that's how you start breaking down numbers. And then you get to, all right, how much does it cost?
Yeah.
To start that up, this is how you reverse engineer and create your life.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about it that way, we can make it a lot easier. It's not going to be easy, but now you're creating a roadmap to actually follow.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be 1 million, it could be 10 million, it could be 100,000. Whatever it is, that's how you break it down. You reverse engineer it.
Mm. I'll say this too, right? And you're talking about the person at a startup, but we've realized that when business owners that we've encountered that are making money, whether it's 500, 400, 600, $1 million, they don't even ask for that much in funding sometimes.
Mm.
They'll come to you and say, I just need 100,000.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just need 200,000. Because they know exactly, and they've come up with that plan.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is exactly what 200,000 would do for me. It can go to marketing, go to working capital, it can go to the operations of the business systems. Like, they understand all their numbers down to a T, so why not follow what they're doing?
Yeah.
Right? Every person's not obviously the big influencer, the big entrepreneur. But just following those simple business habits are going to make you a millionaire.
I've seen similar as well. It's always the established guys that know down to the penny
yes.
how much capital they need.
Yes.
Because once again, they're in it. They got skin in the game. So they're not just looking to get funding because they saw a flashy video on social.
Exactly.
That make them go like, oh, okay, I need to get X. Versus the person who has no business, still in the 9-to-5. There's nothing wrong with that. But they want to get started. For them, it's like, oh, I need 100,000. And right. It's like, there's no data or anything behind that. It's just like, exactly. I saw it. I need it. We're going to figure everything else out after. Which kind of leads to my next question, which is, you guys have been in this space for so long. I'm sure you've seen the good and the bad that's come with people who've been able to get access to capital and it's been able to take their business from here to here. Mm-hmm. And other people have gotten it to where it's probably put them in some precarious situations.
Yes.
What are some of the other mistakes that you see individuals who are trying to get access to capital make that ultimately put them in the red before they end up in the green?
Can we stop using words like precarious? Because I'm trying to figure out.
What's wrong with precarious?
Maybe I had to hear the end of the question.
A bad situation.
All right, there we go.
There you go.
Okay. I would say, first of all, when it comes, yes. I think there's a lot of, in marketing in general, right? I think a lot of people are falling victim to marketing and victim to falling into things that they're not ready for.
Yeah.
If you never had $100,000, most people don't know how to deal with $100,000 plus interest.
Mm-hmm.
And having to pay it every month.
Mm-hmm. So I actually think a lot of people are falling victim to getting into businesses without a plan because they think it's easy.
Yeah.
So just understanding, none of this is easy, no matter how much people break it down, how plug and play, how simple, none of this is easy. To have to figure out how to make money every month mm-hmm. without somebody saying, you walk into McDonald's, you walk into corporate, you walk into any job, they have standard operating procedures. They have a full 20 books they could give you on how everything is going to go.
Yep.
When you start your business, we're starting with none of that.
Mm-hmm.
You have to create your standard operating procedures. Nice. You have to create your rules and regulations. You have to hire your own employees.
Yep.
So I tell people, think about it. If you ever worked on a job, when you walk in, they take you through training. They mm-hmm. take you through onboarding. They give you all of these books to read and understand just to do your job on day one.
And pay you for it.
So that's how you have to approach your business. You can't come in from Sunday to Monday and on Monday morning say, all right, let me figure out what I'm going to do today. You're already lost.
Facts.
If when you come in Monday morning, you're now saying, I got to figure out what I'm going to do today and for the week, you're already lost.
Because
mm-hmm. when you come in McDonald's or corporate, Home Depot, they already know and have it laid out what you're going to do today.
Yeah.
They already know what each and every employee needs to be doing at all times.
Mm-hmm.
So you approach your business just like that. You have to create a system where it's predictable
mm-hmm.
so you can continually make money. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people fail because they don't have that knowledge or understanding out the gate. They treat it like a hustle.
Mm-hmm. And we 1%, bro. You got to think about it. Like, we are literally the 1%, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yourself, us. A lot of other people.
Don't put him in it.
That are in this industry, we're 1%. So it's kind of hard for them to look at us and be like, yeah, I want to do exactly what they do, but they kind of can't.
Right.
They can't. And especially when now you're talking about people that's out there putting out information and telling you how easy it is to get funding. How easy it is to get $100,000. Yeah, you're right. But then there's also negative ways on, you know, the way they're doing things to get you that $100,000 that could also cause you to fall to the wayside terribly or get put in jail for something that you don't need to get put in jail for. So, you know, it's just really understanding and I mean, yeah, it's hard.
It's helping people make money, how to help people create cash flow.
Yeah, and that's what it's really about now.
Because you get 100K, I like to tell people interest rates don't matter. The reason why I tell people interest rates don't matter is about the minimum payment each month, right?
Yeah.
So at 100K, let's just say 25% interest rate. Let's just start 0% interest rate, right? A lot of people want 0% interest. So you get 100K at 0% interest. You're going to have the minimum payment is going to be 1% of the balance due at the end of each month. So 1% of 100K is what, $1,000. So you get 100K at 0% interest, your minimum payment is $1,000. So when you're doing your business plan, your numbers, you have to say, hey, how can I 5 to 10X based off what I'm going to have to pay back at the end of each month? So now the average interest rate in America using credit cards, we're talking about credit cards, is between 21 to 27%. That's the average, and that's kind of high. So let's just say we're at maybe around 25%, right? The minimum payment on 100K is probably going to be around $3,000, around $3,300. $3,000, the minimum payment at 25% interest rate. So once you understand that, after the 0% interest period runs out, it's going to jump up to around $3,000. Can I still be profitable? Because a lot of people mess up is when that 0% interest runs out in that 12th, 13th, 14th month, and it jumps up to from 1,000, 3,000, they can't pay their bills.
And they come looking for you. Yeah. I need another round of funding.
Yeah.
Please, ASAP. Yep. And they only look for you on the 12th month.
Yep.
They don't look for you, the 8 month, and they're not planning for that neither.
Exactly. So all you really have to figure out is, hey, based on this minimum payment, can I still profit? So now my minimum payment, I just got $100,000. I say you should at least know how to 5X that money. So if I got $100,000, how can I say the minimum payment is $3,000? How can I now make 10 to 15K a month off a $100,000 lump sum I just got? So now you should figure out, all right, if I have a $100 product, right? How many products I got to sell to make $3,000?
Is that a rhetorical question or you're generally asking me?
I'm asking you. Because I just want to see if you know 30? 30, yes.
There you go. Yo,
yes,
don't disrespect me on the podcast.
So 30 products, right?
You on the show. Go ahead.
So 30 products, right? And that's just to break even. And that's if the interest rate is at 25%. Now you sell 60 products, you 2X it. You at 6,000.
Yeah.
Now it's just figuring out, how do I sell 60 products?
Yeah.
Well, how many people does it take for me to talk to sell a product?
That's a 10% conversion rate.
Now if I have a 10% conversion rate, I have to speak to 10 people to sell one product. So now how many people I have to speak to sell 30 products?
600. Oh, sorry, 300.
300.
And then you said,
so now I know if I make 300 phone calls, I'm going to make $3,000. So just figuring that out. So now you can figure out where the money goes. So now what am I hire? Salespeople. Yo, we need to make at least 300 calls a day. Because I know I'm going to convert 10% of that. So now you know this is how you predictably make the money. So just understanding the numbers and understanding like how to sell. That's how you turn 100K into $1 million.
But see, this is this is why I like these conversations, because that's the unsexy part of funding that, and just business that people don't talk about. Like, people just talk about like the end result, but it's like, as we talked about earlier in the episode, there's so much that goes into getting to that point to where it's like you now have a lot of people that, because they're so hyper focused on either getting the capital or getting to that dollar amount, they go and run the play and run all these different strategies. And as you know, it's like they're $50,000 down and they don't know how they're going to keep their lights on the next month.
Right.
Which all could have been easily avoidable, especially with like ChatGPT and everything else. All that could have been avoidable just by you taking a couple of days to just sit down and write out, do just basic math and then reverse engineer from there. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Another thing that I'm seeing also in the space that I want to get you guys' opinion on as well, because I see we talk about the marketing material. When we talk about getting access to capital, we talked a lot about the structure and the plan.
also the foundation you need to even be in a position to get access to capital is a big one. I see a lot of content now where individuals talk a lot about, well, you don't need good personal credit to be in a situation where you can get access to funding on the business side. There's so many different approaches that you could take.
Yeah.
Is 2025 now? I don't know. Maybe things have changed.
No.
Okay. Well,
you still need good personal credit to get funded. Whoever putting that content out, that's crazy. You still need a 700 plus credit score to get access to capital on the business side. And there's other ways you can get funded. If we're talking about like MCA funding, which is Merchant Cash Advance, you know, there's other lenders that are subprime lenders that you could possibly go on the business side where you can have a 620, 640 credit score and use like a CDFI, which is a community developmental financial institution, to be able to get funding because they're looking for business owners that have that, you know, underpromise credit score, mm-hmm. right? So that they can then give them the money so they can overdeliver on whatever their business is, right? So I think whoever's putting that information out, definitely don't listen, right? But there's other routes, right? Mm. There are other routes,
grants.
But
we're gonna talk about that too.
And that's the next thing we definitely want to start speaking about more about our grants, right? Because free money is out there, right? Free money is out there, and
I want to say totally free. You gotta. I know we say that, but I don't like.
Well, yeah, unpack that because, like you said, there's so many alternatives. Because
you got to put the work in for the free money.
Break that down.
Let me say grant.
The reason why I don't like to say free money, you got to make investment to get to getting grants, right?
Yeah.
You got to create your, if it's nonprofit, you got to create your nonprofit. You got to have your website set up. You got to make sure you write the grant out. And your business has to be set up a certain way, if it's for profit or nonprofit.
What's the bylaws? The bylaws.
Got to have your bylaws.
Of the nonprofit.
You got to have, it's a lot of people you should have in place to be able to, if we're talking nonprofit, to be able to qualify for these grants, right?
Yes.
You got to get your CAGE number, right? Your business has to be set up. You should have your website set up. Everything should look professional so you qualify for these grants. But you can get access to grants. Just to further go into your question, we're habitual creatures. So, yes, there's a lot of backdoor ways if you really, want to unpack that. We could get people funded with less than stellar credit, right? But just statistically, and I really paid attention from this with John O'Brien. I like a lot of things he say, right? It's a reason why you have bad credit. it's a reason why, because of your habits.
Right, yep.
So, and just we know statistically, a lot of people that are in certain situations, you're in that situation for a reason and you can't get out that situation. So giving you money doesn't mean that's the answer. Mm-mm. We like to say this a lot. We made almost all our money in our company. Now it may sound, you know,
crazy.
Ironic,
yeah.
But we barely use any funding.
What do you mean by that?
So when we first started our company, mm-hmm. we were actually tapped out and funded. That actually, we left that out. That helped bring us together.
Yeah.
Both had trucking companies. We both went into all these other businesses.
Yeah.
And we were tapped out credit-wise and funding-wise.
You guys maxed out all the capital you
yes.
had?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. And it was in use.
I definitely kept my real estate, though. That was the one thing that helped out.
It was in use.
Okay.
And all these other ventures mm-hmm. that weren't the greatest or super successful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when we came together... That was another reason why we decided to start our business. Hey, let's come together. Let's grow this the right way. Learning from all our other ventures, mm-hmm. let's grow this the right way. You can learn how to make $100 without saying I need funding to make $100. You can make $1,000 without saying I need funding to make $1,000. You can make $100,000 without saying I need funding because mm-hmm. you know it's two skills you need, sales and marketing.
Mm-hmm. We know because we did it.
Yeah.
So especially nowadays, jumping on a TikTok, jumping on an Instagram, jumping on a Facebook, teaching people, doing live Zoom calls, creating a product, and after that live Zoom call, you now sell the product. You can do that without saying I need 50K. And people don't understand that. Having that skill set, now funding is going to amplify that.
Yeah.
A lot of people want to say, I'm going to get the funding. And then that's going to help me figure it out. And that's where they go wrong. Mm. You haven't learned the skill set of actually growing the business.
Mm. Yeah, you need to sell that. You need to sell a product first. You cannot go out there and ask for money and you've never made money.
Mm. Or you don't know how to make money.
Exactly.
And you don't even know how to make money. You're asking for money to put somewhere and you don't even know how to make money yourself. And that's why they come back to us and say, hey, I just lost my shirt. I need more funding, or I can't pay back this loan, or I can't pay back my minimum payment. You never learned how to make money in the first place. You tried to put a Band-Aid over a cut. Well, not over a cut. You tried to put a Band-Aid over, what's the saying?
Man, you're asking the wrong person. I don't know the saying.
Band-Aid over a bullet wound. There you go.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. Yeah. You tried to put a Band-Aid over a bullet wound.
Yeah.
That's not going to work. So I think people are trying to go about solving their problems the wrong way. And that's why we start talking more about creating cash flow and not just funding, creating cash flow and business scaling.
What if the next time you heard from the banks, it was a $50,000 to $100,000 approval letter instead of another denial? You've been putting in the work, balancing your job, your business, and your family responsibilities. But here's the truth that most entrepreneurs never hear. Hard work alone is not enough to get the banks to say yes. Banks approve entrepreneurs who are structured the right way, and that's the missing piece that's been holding you back all along. We've seen it over and over again. Entrepreneurs who came to us who were stuck getting denial after denial got access to the right system, structure, and strategy that unlocked $50,000, $75,000, and even $100,000 credit approvals. And here's the real cost of waiting. Every month you go without having access to capital is another month where your opportunities are slipping into another business's hands. That's why we created the Fast Track to Capital, a free masterclass where we break down the exact steps needed to make yourself look fundable to banks so that you can access the capital needed to scale your business. We only do this training a limited amount of times per year, so if you're ready to secure your spot, click the link above or below this video so that you don't go another year without having the access to capital that your business needs.
So then would you say, because even for myself, me being in this space, I'm a proponent. A lot of times I'll tell people like, hey, before you run to start a business and putting yourself in debt, most people who are trying to start a business usually have a career, right? That they're usually using. And then they essentially have a business that they want to start. I'm like, yo, before you start even thinking about dibbling and dabbling with anything capital related, to your point about learning the principles of what it really takes to grow business, like take whatever discretionary income you're getting from your business and use that to go ahead and invest. Because at that point, you can kind of take all the risks that you want to take, number one. Two, you can learn without having to go to sleep every single night sweating, right? Because it's like, damn, I got this $30,000, $40,000 that I have to make back. It's like, no, I got this $1,000 from my job at FedEx that I put in. If I make it back, I make it back. If I don't, I don't. I'm cool.
And we're not telling you to leave your 9-to-5 because we, you know, 9-to-5 was our first investors, right? Mm-hmm. So shout out to Storm because that's something that he preaches as well, right? Just being the employed millionaire, right? Mm-hmm. Just investing in yourself, using that 9-to-5 and continuing on, right? And then eventually move into the full entrepreneurship if that's what you want to do. But you can be a 9-to-5 and just invest. Especially 9-to-5ers now, they need to invest, right? Because $100,000 isn't enough anymore. Hmm. Even at $150,000, if you're in New York City, that's nothing.
Amen.
That $150,000 is nothing anymore. It's just being honest.
Yeah.
It's nothing. So you have to start investing. You have to start making money elsewhere. You're not gonna make it at that job. So understand that. Hey, okay, cool. I don't have to be the business owner, but maybe if I want to invest in a business or I want to invest in a stock market, you can do those things. But learning how to invest in those places gives you certain principles that you start to eventually be able to carry out into your own business as well. But most people don't look at it like that because they're so gung-ho on what's on Love Island. Just being honest. Mm-hmm. and that's where we start to go wrong, right? Obviously, I mean, I don't want to be the person to be like, yo, don't watch TV or nothing like that, because I do. Mm-hmm. But it's because I've gotten to the place where I wasn't watching TV for like damn near 5-6 years. Mm-hmm. So I had to make those sacrifices to be able to get here. If I didn't make those sacrifices, I wouldn't be here. Mm-hmm. If I didn't put the hard work in, I wouldn't be here. So that's what you need to put the hard work in. And that doesn't mean it has to be physical labor. It could be, yo, reading a book, going to a networking event.
Yeah.
Taking a mentorship class. Even if it's not taking a mentorship, buying a product and reading through the actual product. A lot of people nowadays have bought products throughout from 2021 all the way till now, and they've probably never gone through that physical product that digital product that they actually bought. Mm-hmm. Go through it. Actually read it. Is this something that you want to do?
Yeah. I heard a report the other day, and this kind of ties into what you're saying. I don't know if this is where we are now, if we're trending in the direction, but there was a report that came out that basically was just like, we're like I said, I don't remember if it's where we are now or trending there, but essentially we are in a place where there are more individuals who are unemployed right now than there are jobs that are actually available. Mm-hmm. And then from there was it was a podcast I was listening to where the conversation was pretty much just like, once upon a time, entrepreneurship was a luxury, but now it's almost becoming a necessity to where it's like, if you think that you're going to just with your career alone, get yourself to a point where you're well off or you're established, it's not going to happen that way, which is interesting to me because for a long time, there's always been a conversation of, is business for everybody? Is everyone made to be an investor? Is everyone made to be an entrepreneur? Because, I mean, you guys have talked about it even in your own story. There's things that come with that. There's sacrifice, delayed gratification. There's
a lot
of different things that you have to do to get to a certain point. From what you guys are seeing, in your opinion, where are you when it comes to that? Do you think that everyone is cut to be an investor and an entrepreneur? Or is this something that you actually counsel against where it's like, yo, this ain't for everybody. I don't care what's going on in the economy. You got to figure it out on your own. But this is not something that you should be looking into.
I'll say this and then you can go. And this is a phrase that I always said. I think I just said it just now. Yeah. You don't have to be a 9-to-5er. I mean, you don't have to be a business owner. You can still invest as you are in your 9-to-5. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody needs to do it. And if I'm driving this point home again, please listen, make sure, and actually do it. Because if you don't invest now with having a 9-to-5 job, it's, I don't know what's going to happen to you. Just being honest.
If we was in the jungle, right? Would you rather?
he went to the low tone voice now.
If we was in the jungle,
talk to me.
Would you rather be a mouse or a tiger?
Tiger.
You see how fast you said that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If we was in the jungle, would you rather be a mouse or a tiger?
Tiger, bro.
Most of us would rather be a tiger. Mm-hmm. Tiger walks around confident. Mm-hmm. Tiger can be aggressive. Mm-hmm. A tiger walks around with no fear. Mm-hmm. The mouse is constantly in fear for his life.
Yep.
It's constantly in fear of everything. And its lifespan is very, very short. When we get into business, we want to be a tiger, but we make mouse decisions. Mm-hmm. And we move around like a mouse. So you got to understand who you are as a person. That's the first analyzation. What is for me? What is not for me? That is the first realistic analyzation. A lot of people don't understand who they are yet, and that's why they get in bad, precarious situations.
He had it in tuck. He's like,
I know.
I'm gonna bring you back like an Uno
so
reverse.
Understanding who you are, right? Yeah. If you're not ready to be a tiger, and that's not you, that's not your personality, you got to understand, how do I fit in? How am I going to stay driven? How am I going to keep this ship afloat if I'm not a tiger? In business, you have to be. Entrepreneurship, you have to be a tiger. You got to be aggressive. You got to know how to make decisions. You got to be confident. You got to stay poised. You got to be always on attack to keep pushing forward. You can't run around like the prey, the mouse, always be scared, scared to make decisions, scared to make a move, staying stagnant. You can't move like that. So you got to understand where you're at, analyze, is this direction for me? Should I just be, because there's different ways to make money. Mm-hmm. Should I just be an investor? You could say, I'm going to take $10,000, $100,000, put it in the market, put in this real estate project and get dividends and just get paid cash flow every week, every quarter, every month. You could just be an investor. Mm-hmm. Or you could be a full-time entrepreneur. You have to kill what you eat. You have to stay driven. You have to be that tiger. So you got to understand, where do I fit in? Who am I? And what is for me? Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't understand what's for them yet. They figure it out the hard way because you don't take that time to understand and do that work on the front end first. Mm-hmm. So I believe that's what you need to do first, and you can figure out, you know, what's for you and what path you want to take. Because people are making a lot of decisions because of TV, social media, marketing. Yeah. Hey, quit your job. Do this. Hey, take all this money over here. Put it here. And people are so scared of their situation, they're going to listen and do it. Yeah. Now, some of it could be even good advice, but don't mean you're ready for it. And don't mean you have all the tools to be able to be successful.
Or the risk analysis. Sometimes.
We could be successful in doing what we do. Don't mean you are.
Yes.
I'm talking about you. I'm talking about Marvin. Don't mean you are. So you got to...
somebody else in the studio. Go ahead, brother.
You just got to understand what's for you first. Do that self-awareness. Self-awareness is super big. Self-analyzation. Before you make these decisions.
What you talked about, I think another, you talked about the mindset of what it takes to be successful in this space and just a lot of it sounds like just understanding who you are, what you want, where you're trying to get to. Once again, the self-awareness component. How you also talked about knowing that there are going to be opportunities that come along the way, and you got to know how to say no to these things to commit to the thing that you know makes the most sense for you. And when I hear that, I think about shiny object syndrome, which for me is very interesting because I think that's also another thing that kills a lot of new business owners. We talked about not having a plan. We talked about not having structure, strategy, and all these different things. But shiny object syndrome is real, especially
I went through it.
So talk a bit about that, because it's like, I think that's also something that gets people caught up, because I think there's also a misconception about what it is to work towards success in business and investing, in that people either think it's going to happen much sooner than it actually is, or the work required is much less than what it is, to where now when they're in the trenches and they're going through things that every other business owner is going through, but something else come along around the corner that seems easier, that it's going to come faster, they find themselves in this vicious cycle of just jumping from thing to thing to thing, where it's like, one week I'm a real estate investor. Next week I'm doing funding with Brandon and Tevin. The next week after that, I want to be a podcaster. How have you guys, because I'm sure even now you still get things that come across your table. How do you find the balance yourself in being able to say no to these things, no matter how sexy or profitable or lucrative the opportunity may seem?
For me, I think it's because I went through it.
Okay.
I went through the shiny object syndrome. I went through the having the Amazon business, making money in stocks, having the trucking company, and also investing in real estate. Investing in real estate was the first thing we ever did. And we should have stuck with that. But because all those things came along the way, and we've made money from them, but it's just still like, it's not enough to pay back what you put in. So then now when opportunities come my way, because now I get a lot of opportunities, because besides, you know, Millionaire Essentials, I'm also a real estate investor, and I get objects that sent, opportunities that sent to me, and I'm still, I know if I delve too deep into it, then I'm taken away from Millionaire Essentials.
Yeah.
And Millionaire Essentials is really what I want to do.
Yeah.
So that's why I don't just jump into everything. Trust me, I invest in stocks and I get my dividends, and I think that's a little bit easier because I used to do day trading. And sometimes I would realize that I'm getting too far into the day, and I'd be like, nah, I'm taking away from Millionaire Essentials. So then I just start understanding, all right, cool, let me just do more dividend investing so that I can make sure that I'm understanding my time, because the opportunity is there with stocks, bro. Anybody can make a lot of money with it.
Yeah.
But you just have to be fully invested into that. It's a lot. That stock thing takes a lot. So just like you said, seeing those opportunities, for me, I've already gone through it. So I already have that tendency to be like, oh, let me pull back, because I understand what it can do to me, and I'm not about to do that again.
Well, I think a lot of people need to study the ultra wealthy, ultra successful people, right? Look at the Warren Buffetts, the Steve Jobs, all these people, they stayed focused, and like the book, The One Thing, right? Focusing on that one thing, being an expert in your field, you're always going to be an asset. And that will open the door to everything else.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people don't understand that.
Mm-hmm.
So if we walk in the room, right? A million people do a million things. We do funding, credit, and funding. Everybody's going to know us for that. That's going to open the door in conversation to get everywhere else, because they know us for something specific, and they're going to go to us for something specific.
Yeah.
Because that's the expert in what we're in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A lot of people get shiny object syndrome. You go all these different directions, but you haven't been consistent enough to be successful somewhere. So it's going to fail the next place. Like, I don't hear people say, hey, I'm doing this over here. Let's just say real estate. It didn't work out. So I'm going to go do trucking. But if you didn't make money over there, it's not the industry. There's a lot of people, millionaires, making money in the industry. It's you. So what makes you think you're going to change fields and be successful over there? A lot of times it's not the field. It's you.
Yep.
All the time. I ain't going to say a lot of times. All the time is not the field. It's usually you. So I think people need to analyze, what am I doing wrong? How's my approach wrong? What can I change to now be successful over here?
That happened with us, right? I got a real estate deal because they know us for credit and funding. But because they know us for credit and funding and they connected with us, so on and so forth, this person had a real estate deal. It made sense in my investment portfolio. Cool. I can do it. Mm-hmm. But that's because they knew us for what we do already. Mm-hmm. So like Brandon said, it's just understanding how to just delve into those markets properly.
Mm. So with where you guys are now and the brand that you've built with Millionaire Essentials, how do you see it with the sweat equity that you've put in and the vision that you have? How do you see it evolving over the course of the next 5 to 10 years?
That's a great question. So just continue building the brand and just open the doors to more wealth, right? Getting into more spaces like AI, right? AI is big right now. That's a hot topic, right? Mm-hmm. So with any business, one of the key things you need to have in your business to be able to get to more people is technology, whatever the technology of the time is.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So if you look at any founder, any owner, any billionaire, to reach more people, it's through tech, whether it's an app, whether it's software, it's something where they're able to reach more people. So your goal as an entrepreneur, a business owner, is to reach more people.
Yeah.
That is your primary goal, because the more people that know you, the more people you can reach, the more money you can make, the more lives you can affect. Mm-hmm. So you could just think about it like that, right? So our goal is to get out there, just to make it plain and simple, reach more people, right? Scale our business, scale our brand, and start opening the doors, not only just building wealth, but actually affecting other people and having this financial literacy conversation a little bit different. Because there's a lot of people out there that once this whole thing about entrepreneurship and business hit, now there's a lot of people making money but not actually changing or affecting things.
Yeah.
And we're starting to see that now.
Facts.
Like we're starting to see it now. Like, all you guys are making money, mm-hmm. or these certain guys are making money, mm-hmm. but all of us are not.
Mm-hmm.
So, and a lot of times as business owners and entrepreneurs, as educators too, because we're educators, we have to look in the mirror and say, hey, we could be making a couple dollars, but now are we affecting the community? Are we actually changing? Like, what is the numbers behind this? Mm-hmm. So that's where we're starting to get more of looking in the communities, looking in neighborhoods, like, what are we actually doing? So that's something like, you know, me and Tevin want to start looking at actually having this conversation the right way and actually making sure we're helping people. And that's why we're kind of changing how we talk about certain things, how we tell you how to approach certain things. Like, this is the education you should have before even getting started. Mm-hmm. Like, our goal is to, you know, create cash flow. What's your business plan? So that's why we're starting to talk like that, to make a better change.
Mm. Yeah, our messaging is completely different. And I think later on, right, towards that 5-year mark, I think eventually, you know, depending on how the business rolls, I know it's a conversation me and Brandon had. If somebody approaches us to sell, does it make sense to, right? Mm-hmm. And I know that's something that me and Brandon, we're not afraid to say yes mm-hmm. to selling, but also, is it going to make sense for the community? Is it going to make sense for the business? Is it going to make sense for the people that's in the business? So it's just having those conversations. And like Brandon said, just furthering it, right? Just being more granular on those topics of wealth building for sure, right? Do you have life insurance? Like, even with us starting our nonprofit is going to start to eventually get into those realms to be able to speak to more and more people. I just had a conversation today. I was trying to call you, tell you about it, but
he always trying to call me, tell me about something important. But he always forget to call me when it's something important, bro.
But
tell Marvin first.
We're going to be invited eventually to speak at St. John's.
Oh, thanks for telling me.
No problem.
Thanks for telling me, bro.
No problem.
Appreciate that.
No problem, bro.
Thanks for telling me.
But yeah.
Breaking news here on the pod.
Yeah, but.
Hey, we're going to speak at St. John's soon. Look out for that. I just found out.
Cool. But yeah, so it's really dope that you're being recognized.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we've been doing this for a while, so like the delayed gratification.
Gratification
is definitely happening now, for sure.
If someone's, as we start to close, if someone's watching this episode, when you guys think back to where you were, where you both were when you started your entrepreneurial journey, there are a lot of people who are there now. What are some closing words that you could leave with them that you wish someone had told you both when you were at the beginning stages of your entrepreneurial and investing journey?
Study and dig in the minds of the ultra wealthy. All the secrets are going to be in their books and their path. So whatever field you're in, find the most successful person in that field, study their mind and how they moved, and then transfer that and relate that to what you're doing now and how can you grow in each and every area? Because one thing I realized, we waste a lot of time and a lot of space doing stuff that don't matter. And we had a talk before this about self-control and discipline a little while before this.
Yep.
That's a major issue with almost all of us.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, let's just say that the people we know, the Elon Musk, right? The Bill Gates, they don't waste time, bro. Everything they do for the majority is important. And they're the richest of the rich of the rich. And they're more disciplined. Like they could, they have FU money, right? Jeff Bezos.
Mm-hmm.
They don't waste time. They don't waste energy.
Mm-hmm.
Everything they do matters, right? Everything they do is valued. So I think we waste, we say we want to be successful, but we don't know the habits to what success means. We don't know the real habits to really do. We don't know how should our day go to have the most optimal day. Like we really don't know these things and we really don't think about it. A lot of times 2-3 hours go by, we was on Instagram or we was in the bathroom. We didn't even have to be in the toilet that long.
He talking about himself on this
one. Yeah, I'm talking about myself. Yeah, we didn't have to be in the toilet that long. We scroll on Instagram. I'm watching Marvin Francois show. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what I'm doing. But those 2-3 hours, there's people making 20, 30, 40, 50,000 million-dollar deals in that hour.
Something is wrong with
it. A lot of times I'll be in the bathroom, you know, BSing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but I use my toilet time to think. I take the laptop to the bathroom, too.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to go ahead.
No, am I the only one that take the laptop in the bathroom?
Yes. Yes, it's crazy. Bro. I ain't going to lie. Crazy. That's only you. I've never taken a laptop. I'll always have my phone. The laptop?
And this is what I'm talking about not wasting time. Why am I going to sit there and just not do anything when I can have the laptop
bro,
in front of me?
Or you know your laptop that you can't do on your phone.
But hold on. Or you can have an efficient bathroom use.
In and out.
Go to the bathroom when you actually need to use it.
Bro. No, I'm using it, but while I'm using the bathroom, I'm still going to do work. Yep,
ladies and gentlemen, the podcast is taking a turn.
Wait, hold on.
I'm still going to do work.
I'm going to stay
by side. Yeah, stay your side.
Yeah, he wild. I don't.
But yeah, you break it down.
No, I'm not breaking down what you
said. So if y'all ever use my laptop, just know.
Yeah, I don't ever.
I never use my laptop.
Nah, see, that's the problem.
Please use my laptop.
Yo, bro, you got to sanitize the laptop from now on, man.
But, you know, go ahead, bro.
My advice after that is just focus 100% on one thing first.
Mm.
Focus 100% on one thing. Become an expert in that field. Become the person that everybody should know you to be to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, eventually, you can branch out to other things. But become 100% expert in whatever you're doing. That, for me, I feel like... obviously, I wouldn't be here today if I would have took that same advice myself, but because I would have just been 100% in real estate.
Because I would have been 100% in real estate.
You wouldn't have met me?
No.
That was the wrong advice there.
No, yeah. I would have never met you. But, once we got together for Millionaire Essentials, I focused 100% in that.
Yeah.
And that's what brought us to having a 7-figure year and continuing on.
Last question.
Hold on, I got a question for you before you get to your last question.
Sure, that's good.
And I know I said this to you before the pod, and I wanted you to wait to answer.
Okay.
But where do you see this podcast going?
I see the podcast becoming a media network to where it'll go from the Marvin Francois show to the Marvin Francois network, which will continue to build the mission of being the number one source for all things business, finance, and investing. I can't do that myself because I only know so much, right? So you guys know it through the Power Partnership. So getting the platform to a point where it's a network and now I have other shows that are branched off from it. Because there's a certain thing. I'm not an expert in stocks. I'm not an expert in real estate. I'm not an expert in logistics.
And funding, and stuff like that, yeah.
We'll talk about that last part that you just said after. That's crazy. But if I'm now able to bring individuals in, you know, Damon John has a great quote, 50% of a watermelon is better than 100% of a grape. I'm not looking to be the only, because that's not going to help me get to where I need to get to. If I could bring 2, 3, 3, or 4 individuals who are also experts in their field that are also have some type of expertise around, or just a hand in media that can come in and have shows like mine, but they're all under this umbrella that I've created, dope. I'm able to reach more people. So that's my vision.
That's dope.
Nice.
I like that.
100%.
You can sign a Millionaire Essentials.
Maybe. We'll think about it. Last question, as we start to close, if both of you guys were able to sit across, so Brandon and Tevin today, you guys were able to sit across from Brandon and Tevin 10 years into the future. They plopped in right here and now, and they only had 30 seconds to speak to the both of you. What do you think they would say?
How many years into the future?
10 years into the future. 10 years into the future. So I don't know how old you are now, but like they'd probably be 13. Like 60.
So if you could speak to your 13-year-old self.
10 years into the future.
10 years into the future?
I thought you said 10. No, I think 10 years into the future. Oh, if I could speak to 10 years into the future?
So I don't know. Yeah, so he'd probably be like 60,
70. Oh, so I'll be 30. If I could speak to 10 years into the future, I'll be 30.
But we got
to. So if I speak to my 30-year-old self. Is that what you
10 years into the, your age now plus 10, bro.
I'll be 30, bro.
All right, bro.
So go ahead. Nobody asked your age, bro.
At 30, brother.
You want to answer?
You got, no, go ahead. You got, already
he got
started.
He got 30 seconds to speak to you, and he's out. He's gone.
What do you think he will say to you?
Yeah.
Wait, so real quick, just so I can analyze. Yeah. What should I say if to Johnny him, or what is he going to say to me?
What is he going to say to you?
What is my future self going
to
say
to
me?
10 years into the future. Jesus Brandon, 10 Christ, years into the future. What is he going to say? He got 30 seconds. We all like, we passed 30, go,
oh, he been, oh, what he going to say to me?
What? Yes.
He going to say,
he going to say, you dumb. He going to say, yo, that stuff, you dumb, bro. What's he going
to
say to me?
What is wrong with him, bro?
He's gonna, no, this is what he's gonna tell me. This is what he's gonna tell me.
No, he's gonna start off with the UW, though.
I think he is gonna start off with that.
I think so.
But he's gonna start off, telling me, stay focused. I mean,
yo, he did all of that to say that. Yo, we gotta end this show.
Tevin, what would 10 years into the future say to you, bro?
Exactly.
Is it tough? Is it
that's a
question?
Tough answer, bro. I'm gonna tell
you what?
That's a tough answer because
I think he's gonna.
It's not the answer you want.
I think he would say, 10 years into the future. I think he would say,
stay in the gym.
No, what, bro? What is wrong with you, bro? Gonna, I can't focus like this.
Put down the donuts.
I cannot focus with you. Just continue talking. Stop talking, bro.
You've seen people post their 50K approvals online, but have you ever wondered why it hasn't happened for you yet? You're clocking in at your 9-to-5, you're building your business after hours, you're even stacking your 401k and setting money aside for investments. So on paper, you're doing all the right things, but here's the problem. Growth feels slower than it should, opportunities keep passing you by because the capital isn't there, and you start wondering if building a real legacy for your family is even possible. It's not about effort or commitment because you've already proven that you have both. The missing piece is having the proper structure. That's why inside of our free masterclass, The Fast Track to Capital, I'm going to show you a step-by-step process on how entrepreneurs just like you are securing $50,000 to $100,000 in capital safely without wasting years on trial and error. So if you want to secure your seat, click the link above or below this video to save your spot and don't keep grinding without the structure that gets real results.
Damn it. I honestly don't know. Okay. How about you? That's a really good. That's an amazing question. I honestly don't know the answer.
Okay, that's fine. My person say 10 years in the future.
Yeah,
he would say, I don't know what you have planned for the day, but before you do anything, call your mom, because the day is gonna come. You're always gonna need to make more money. You're always gonna need to grow the business. You're always gonna need to hire an employee. You're always gonna need to do something. But a day is gonna come where you're gonna want to call your mom, and she's not gonna be there. And as busy as you think you are, you're never too busy to give her a call. So check on her. Make sure she's good. And then he bounced just like that.
See, that's a good answer. Mm. But the reason why that's a good answer, but if that answer you know that so easily, mm-hmm. you already solved that problem. So why would he tell you that?
That's what he would want to. I don't know. Why are we spending so much time on this question?
Because that's a hard question.
Oh my gosh. Do either of you have an answer to provide for
I think I do.
Okay, go ahead.
It's not that, because I've moved my dad in with me and I've lost my mom.
Okay.
I think what my future self would say to me 10 years into the future, he would say, hone the craft, or help you, like, just be more present with mm-hmm. your kids.
There you go.
And that's something that I'm working on. I'm really working on now. That's like, I'm really working on that now, because obviously for the last 4 years, 6 years, I've been just mainly focused on making money, making sure the family's happy, but never really, I put the time in, but it's still not enough. Mm-hmm. It's not enough for them to learn certain things, learn small nuances. So I feel like that would be something that he would speak to me, because those kids are going to be your future. Mm-hmm. They're going to take over everything you have. I have a trust. I have will. I have trust accounts. I have a brokerage for that. I have all of those things set up. But if I don't teach them exactly what to do, they're not going to know what the hell to do with it.
Mm.
And no school is going to teach them exactly what to do. So I have to be the one to do it.
Perfect. Done deal.
Yeah.
You already said yours.
Yeah, no, Yuki, bro. No, this.
You're done. Bro. The episode is finished, brother.
I didn't know. The episode is finished.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning into the Muffer. Do you actually have an answer you want to give?
I do.
All right, go ahead. Look, 30 seconds.
Now he about to get sentimental.
No, for real.
30 seconds.
You just killed my ass. No, I'm dead serious.
Go.
Nah, my future self probably say, control your emotions, or your emotions going to control you. Because I think that's something I probably will solve a lot better. And I tend to have, you know, we all emotional creatures, but I think I react off certain emotions sometimes a little too heavy. So I think I will have that solved greatly in the future. So I think he'll probably say that.
That's it.
My guy. Brandon, Tevin, appreciate you guys for coming on. I know we got to get you guys out of here. Before we do, your camera here, let the people know what you got going on and where they can find you.
Absolutely. You know, it's Brandon Provider. Find me on Instagram, Brandon the Provider. Also, we do have, can I do a podcast blog? We do have our podcast. It's, you know, up there with the Marvin Francois podcast, the Millionaire Essentials podcast. Check us out on YouTube as well. We're going to be doing weekly webinars as well. Tap into our weekly webinars where we teach you how to access capital to create cash flow and scale your business. So follow our YouTube, Millionaire Essentials. Follow me on Instagram, Brandon The Provider, everywhere.
Yes, sir. And Tevin Facey on Instagram, Tevin Facey on Facebook, Tevin Facey on TikTok. And Millionaire Essentials on YouTube as well. Make sure you also tap into those webinars and also tap into our school group and our school community that we have, where we teach you all things funding, grants, and how to actually scale and grow your business. This is an amazing episode.
It's been great, man.
Appreciate y'all, man. And I appreciate each and every single one of you guys who have watched. And if you haven't already, what are you doing? Take a second, take a minute, take an hour out of your day right here, right now, to go ahead, hit that like button, show the episode some love, tell a friend to tell a friend to come back and rewatch the episode again. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Marv Francois. That is Brandon Jackson and Tevin Facey. You guys have been good. We've been great. This has been amazing. Thank you all. God bless. And until next time.